Welcome to Day 72 of My Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host from Hidden with Christ Ministries. Today we are reading from the book of Deuteronomy, chapters 5, 6, and 7 in the New American Standard Bible. And we are about to hear Moses retelling the children of Israel, the Ten Commandments that have been given on Mount Sinai. We will also hear him give some warnings for the promised land and also the promises of prosperity if they obey the Lord. So I believe there's much for you to glean from as we read Deuteronomy chapters 5, 6, and 7, beginning at Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 1. Then Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and the ordinances which I am speaking today in your hearing, that you may learn them and observe them carefully. The Lord our God made a covenant with us at Horeb. The Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers, but with us, with all those of us alive here today. The Lord spoke to you face to face at the mountain from the midst of the fire while I was standing between the Lord and you at that time to declare to you the word of the Lord. For you were afraid because of the fire and did not go up the mountain. He said, 'I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and on the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your ox or your donkey or any of your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you, so that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be prolonged and that it may go well with you on the land which the Lord your God gives you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, and you shall not desire your neighbor's house, his field, or his male servant, or his female servant, his ox, or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor." These words the Lord spoke to all your assembly at the mountain from the midst of the fire, of the cloud, and of the thick gloom, with a great voice, and he added no more. He wrote them on 2 tablets of stone and gave them to me. And when you heard the voice from the midst of the darkness, while the mountain was burning with fire, you came near to me, all the heads of your tribes and your elders. And you said, "Behold, the Lord our God has shown us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice from the midst of the fire. We have seen today that God speaks with man, yet he lives. Now then, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God any longer, then we will die. For who is there of all flesh who has heard the voice of the living God speaking from the midst of the fire as we have and lived? Go near and hear all that the Lord our God says. Then speak to us all that the Lord our God speaks to you, and we will hear it and do it. The Lord heard the voice of your words when you spoke to me, and the Lord said to me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken to you. They have done well in all that they have spoken. Oh, that they had such a heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it may be well with them and with their sons forever. Go say to them, return to your tents. But as for you, stand here by me, that I may speak to you all the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which you shall teach them, that they may observe them in the land which I give them to possess. So you shall observe to do just as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right or to the left. You shall walk in all the way which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you will possess. Chapter 6. Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess it, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Then it shall come about when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, great and splendid cities which you did not build, and houses full of all good things which you did not fill, and hewn cisterns which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, and you eat and are satisfied, then watch yourself, that you do not forget the Lord, who brought you from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall fear only the Lord your God, and you shall worship him and swear by his name. You shall not follow other gods, any of the gods of the people who surround you. For the Lord your God in the midst of you is a jealous God, and otherwise the anger of the Lord your God will be kindled against you, and he will wipe you off the face of the earth. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test as you tested him at Massah. You should diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes which he commanded you. You shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you, and that you may go in and possess the good land which the Lord swore to give your fathers, by driving out all your enemies from before you, as the Lord has spoken. When your son asks you in time to come, saying, "What did the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments mean, which the Lord our God commanded you?" Then you shall say to your son, "We were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us from Egypt with a mighty hand. Moreover, the Lord showed great and distressing signs and wonders before our eyes against Egypt, Pharaoh and all his household. He brought us out from there in order to bring us in, to give us the land which he had sworn to our fathers." So the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always and for our survival as it is today. It will be righteousness for us if we are careful to observe all this commandment before the Lord our God, just as He commanded us. Chapter 7. When the Lord your God brings you into the land where you are entering to possess it and clears away many nations before you, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and stronger than you. And when the Lord your God delivers them before you and you defeat them, then you shall utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them and show no favor to them. Furthermore, you shall not intermarry with them. You shall not give your daughters to their sons, nor shall you take their daughters for your sons, for they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. Then the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and He will quickly destroy you. But thus you shall do to them. You shall tear down their altars and smash their sacred pillars and hew down their asherim and burn their graven images with fire, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for His own possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set His love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than any of the peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples, but because the Lord loved you and kept the oath which He swore to your forefathers, the Lord brought you out by a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know, therefore, that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God, who keeps His covenant and His loving kindness to a thousandth generation with those who love Him and keep His commandments, but repays those who hate Him to their faces to destroy them. He will not delay with him who hates Him. He will repay him to his face. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I am commanding you today to do them. Then it shall come about, because you listen to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord your God will keep with you His covenant and His loving kindness which He swore to your forefathers. He will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground, your grain and your new wine and your oil, the increase of your herd and the young of your flock in the land which He swore to your forefathers to give you. You shall be blessed above all people. There will be no male or female barren among you or among your cattle. The Lord will remove from you all sickness, and He will not put on you any of the harmful diseases of Egypt which you have known, but He will lay them all on those who hate you. You shall consume all the peoples whom the Lord your God will deliver to you. Your eye shall not pity them, nor shall you serve their gods, for that would be a snare to you. If you say in your heart, "These nations are greater than I, how can I dispossess them?" you shall not be afraid of them. You shall well remember what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all Egypt, the great trials which your eyes saw, and the signs and wonders and the mighty hand and the outstretched arm by which the Lord your God brought you out. So shall the Lord your God do to all the peoples of whom you are afraid. Moreover, the Lord your God will send the hornet against them until those who are left and hide themselves from you perish. You shall not dread them, for the Lord your God is in your midst, a great and awesome God. The Lord your God will clear away these nations before you little by little. You will not be able to put an end to them quickly, for the wild beasts would grow too numerous for you. But the Lord your God will deliver them before you and will throw them into great confusion until they are destroyed. He will deliver their kings into your hand so that you will make their name perish from under heaven. No man will be able to stand before you until you have destroyed them. The graven images of their gods you are to burn with fire. You shall not covet the silver or the gold that is on them, nor take it for yourself, or you will be snared by it. For it is an abomination to the Lord your God. You shall not bring an abomination into your house, and like it come under the ban. You shall utterly detest it, and you shall utterly abhor it, for it is something banned. This is the end of today's scripture reading. In today's scripture reading, Moses is giving the people of Israel some serious warnings when they entered the promised land. And I'm going to read just a few verses to you and tell you some of these amazing significance of the words that are used here. In Deuteronomy 7, the first few verses, we read this: "When the Lord your God brings you into the land where you are entering to possess it and clears away many nations before you, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and stronger than you, and when the Lord your God delivers them before you and you defeat them, then you shall utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them and show them no favor to them. Furthermore, you shall not intermarry with them or give your daughters to their sons or take their daughters for your sons, for they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods." Now, you may hear that list of these seven nations and just kind of rattle through it, but let me assure you that the meaning of each one of these names of the nations is extremely significant and symbolic for things we face today. Let me explain. God is telling them, you're about to come into the promised land, and here are the enemies you're going to face. And if you don't deal with them harshly, swiftly, and show them no mercy, destroy them completely, and get them out of your life, they will end up destroying you. It is the word of the Lord. They will end up destroying you. And it's a symbol for things in our lives today. There are things that God utterly wants us to drive out of our lives, habits and agreements with certain things in the culture that God wants us to remove completely. He doesn't want us to have any agreement with them. And in the NIV translation, it says, make no treaty with them and show them no mercy. So don't come into any agreement with these particular seven nations. Well, let me give you the significance of their names. It's quite profound. First of all these seven nations were the descendants of someone that was called Anak. And the word Anak, the descendants of Anak, and Anak, that name actually means to choke, or strangling or choking chain. Isn't that fascinating? Strangling or choking chain, or to choke. We know that Satan's purpose is to choke out all fruitfulness in the life of a believer. Because we have that example in the New Testament gospel where Jesus said in the parable of the sower and the seed that the seed, which was the word of God, that fell among thorns was choked so that its fruit did not come to maturity. That's the idea of this symbolic name Anak, and all these seven nations that the Israelites are told to drive out and extinguish from the land were these descendants of Anak, to choke or choking chain. And this is the goal of all the enemies of the promised land. In the promised land is to choke out those who want to come in and take hold of the promises of God. The enemy of your soul wants to choke out any possibility of you actually receiving God's blessings, being fruitful in your life. Let's take a look at the names of each of these nations that we often rattle through, the Hittites and Girgashites and Amorites. We just kind of run through the names, but I tell you, they are very significant. First of all, the first one that's listed here in Deuteronomy 7:1 is the Hittites. And you know that name Hittite means terror. the Lord warned Joshua, and we'll come to it in the book of Joshua, but he warned Joshua just before he went into the promised land that he had to be very courageous, be not afraid nor be dismayed, because the Lord knew that fear would absolutely defeat them before they even got started in the fight. And so it is true for us today. Fear is the absolute enemy of your faith. It's the enemy. It's the one that will undermine you being able to trust the Lord. You have to understand that fear is the mortal enemy of every believer. And fear seeks to keep you away from all that belongs to you in Christ Jesus. You have to be determined to drive this enemy out of your life. You have to be able to take the word of God that says that God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind, and take that hold of that and stand on that word that God has not given you a spirit of fear, and you're not going to enter into fear, and you're not going to let fear influence you, not crush you, immobilize you in any way. And this name Hittite literally meant terror. So the idea was it would terrify them so that they would be immobilized. Have you ever had a situation where fear tried to grip you and you couldn't so much as speak a word or move? That's because the effect of fear is immobilization. And in your Christian walk, it's the same way. If you're facing a battle right now and the enemy of your soul is trying to press fear onto you, you need to resist it in the name of Jesus and say, I don't have a spirit of fear, but I walk by faith, and God is the one who fights for me. And this is a critical thing for us. We have to drive the Hittites, the terror, the fear, out of our lives. We can't come into agreement with it. Oh, I'm so afraid. The moment you say, I am so afraid, you have come into a covenant agreement that the spirit of fear is your companion. You are not fearful. There is an enemy called the spirit of fear that wants to grip you, but you, as a believer, as a Christian that has been born again, you don't have a spirit of fear yourself. The enemy has one he'd like to have grip your life, but you can resist that in the name of Jesus and successfully drive fear out of your life. God will do this with you, but you have to be in agreement with that. So the Hittites, fear and terror, are the first enemy that you need to know that you can't make any covenant with that. You can't come into any agreement with that spirit of fear. Have no mercy on it. Don't just say, well, I'm just a fearful person. That's a lie that the devil's trying to get you to believe and embrace personally. That's not true. If you have the Spirit of God inside of you, you don't have a spirit of fear. The devil has a spirit of fear, but you don't. But you need to resist when he tries to press you with that spirit of fear. Okay, the second enemy nation was called the Girgashites. The Girgashites, it's an interesting word. It means people from the clayey soil. And you must think, well, that means nothing. Soil that has a lot of clay in it does not absorb water. It'll run right off the top, never soaking in. If you've ever tried to plant crops in a field like that that has clay in it, it's absolutely impossible to get it to take water. Well, remember, the Word of God is likened to water. And we live in a culture today that resists the water of the Word of God. It resists being washed by the water of the Word. It resists hearing the Word of God. We have to be on guard against this enemy in the promised land when we start to prosper, lest we become like the enemy, where the water of the Word doesn't mean anything to us. When people have everything they need, when they are rich in the sense of they don't have any great lack in their life, it's very easy to have the Word of God just wash over you and not make any deep impression. But someone who's desperate in certain areas of their life will often press in to take hold of the Word of God. We don't ever want to become like the people who have like a clayey soil of our hearts. You know, the Word of God in the Gospels, Jesus talked about the seed was the Word of God and the hearts was the soil. I want to have a heart that the Word of God can always penetrate and grow in and affect and impact. That's what God wants for us. So we have to be careful to not allow the Girgashites to influence us where the Word of God doesn't have any power in our life anymore. So that's something to guard against. especially if you're in a time and season in life where things are going well for you. That's when the water of the word can just wash over you because you don't have any great need. But you do have a great need. Thinking that prosperity means you have no need is actually a deception, but that's another subject. All right, the third particular enemy in the promised land was the Amorites. And this word Amorite actually is a reference to speech, including speaking against or challenging or verbally challenging or boasting. You know, the enemy of your soul, Satan himself, have you ever noticed he's very mouthy? He's always challenging. He's always accusing the brethren. And that's one of the aspects of the devil's character. He boasts of his power, and you have to be wise enough not to be taken in by his lies. And he will also try to hook you into his trap by trying to get you to speak the way that he speaks about the conditions you're facing and about the people you're dealing with, meaning that the devil himself will try to get you to say, oh, this is impossible. Oh, this situation's never going to be resolved. Oh, things are going to get worse, because he wants you to speak like he speaks. You know, God wants us to speak like he speaks. The devil wants you to speak like he speaks. And if you repeat what the enemy says to you, your situation's a mess, your marriage is going to end in divorce, you're going to have to declare bankruptcy, you're never going to get out of this, all these negative, horrible things that the enemy would like to bring into your life, instead of speaking what God says, that he's your deliverer, he's your provider, he's the one that protects you, he fights for you. Instead of saying what God says, if you get snared here by this enemy, the Amorites, by repeating the speech of the devil instead of repeating the word of the Lord, you will end up being trapped by the Amorites. So you have to be wise and not be taken in by the lies of the enemy and not repeat what he says about your circumstance, your life, or anybody around you. The next enemy that we find here is the Canaanites, and the root word that is translated Canaanite in English is to humiliate. Now, God desires every one of his servants to walk in humility. That's a different story than being humiliated. Satan, who's ever the perverter of the ways of the Lord, seeks to oppress people with a spirit of condemnation and humiliation. There's a big difference. We have to resist this enemy of humiliation and shame and condemnation and destroy this enemy completely by relying on the truth of God's word and what God says about you. We are not under condemnation, Romans chapter 8 tells us, if we have put our trust in Christ. We are not under condemnation, even if you've sinned. Everyone has sinned. We have been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. We've been forgiven through Christ Jesus. We are now overcomers. We are more than conquerors. He has given us the righteousness of Christ. There's a completely different attitude that comes from the word of God for the people of God. But if you accept what the enemy says, that you should be humiliated and shame should be on you all the time because of your past, then you have come under the influence and really under the bondage of the Canaanites, that spirit of humiliation. That is not from the Lord. You need to resist that, and you need to renew your mind with the word of God. Read Romans 8:1 if you struggle with this. All right, then the next one, the fifth of these enemy nations that the Lord instructed the people to drive out of their land, out of their promised land, is the Perizzites. That word comes from a word that means without walls. Proverbs 25:28 tells us, whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. There is a dangerous enemy in the promised land where there's no lack of material things. When you come into the place where the blessing of God is flowing on your life and the provision of God is so abundant, and there are definite seasons for that, and God does do that, then the temptation, or you could say the enemy in the land at that point, is the parasites with a Z, because that is a hedonistic spirit which encourages the pursuit of pleasure without restraint. In other words, no walls. I don't have any boundaries for pursuing pleasure. Addictions to food, addictions to drink, and to drugs, and to lust, pornography, to gambling, and all of those types of things are signs that the parasites, the without walls spirit, that spirit where you have no boundaries over your flesh, has not been driven out of your life. So that is something very critical for us as believers, because God does want to bless you. He does want to provide for you. He doesn't want you to be in lack. That was his word is full of those promises. But the danger of the promised land, which Moses warned the people of Israel about, is that when you get to that place where you are blessed, you better be careful of the parasites, because they're going to tempt you to be unrestrained and without walls and without boundaries in your life in pursuing the pleasure that abundance can buy. The sixth enemy in the land was called the Hivites, and that word means encampment. You know, the enemy will attempt to camp in any area of your life that you do not aggressively guard and seize and cast out any illegal campers. Because you are born again, Satan has no legal right to the territory of your life. But he will try to trespass illegally to see if you will use your authority and evict the trespasser. Just like the Israelites had to forcibly rid the promised land of their enemies, we have to run the enemy out of our families, out of our marriages, out of our thought life, out of our health, out of our finances. We have to do it by taking the authority that God has given us, the weapons that the Lord has given us. But we're going to have to use them. We're going to have to declare the word of God over our situations. We're going to have to speak in the name of Jesus. We're going to have to resist the enemy when he tries to harass us. So this is very, very important. You have to stake your territory. The promises of God are mine. You have to declare the enemy doesn't have any right to to those promises in your life. So you're going to have to drive out the Hivites, the ones who would try to camp in your life and keep you from the blessings God has for you. And then the very last enemy that the Israelites were going to face in the promised land was the Jebusites. And that word is very telling. The word actually means polluted. In order to receive all that God has for you, the full inheritance of the promised land, the Lord requires us to rid our lives of the pollution of the world. God wants to bless you, I'm telling you, with every good thing, and especially the fullness of His presence, His Spirit, hearing His voice. But I tell you, the Lord, His precious Holy Spirit, will not cohabit with defilement or unholiness. Think about it. All that we've been reading about, the tabernacle where the presence of God would dwell, the priests had to be so careful not to bring anything unclean or unholy or defiled near the tabernacle, because it's where the Lord's presence was. It's the same for our lives. God won't cohabit with unholiness or defilement. Have you allowed any moral or spiritual pollution in your home or in your thought life or in what you see on television or the movies or the internet? Without being very vigilant, driving that out, you will be hard-pressed to enjoy the presence of God, hear the voice of God, be influenced by the Spirit of God, because the Lord won't cohabitate with an unclean spirit. So we have to be careful. The Jebusites are in the land, I tell you, in the land today. That polluted spirit, that spirit of pollution and defilement is everywhere. But we have the authority to drive it out of our own lives. You might not be able to cast it out of the whole earth, because there's people who are in agreement with that spirit. but for your own life, for your own home, for your own family, take the territory and drive out any of these illegal campers, including the Jebusites, the spirit of pollution, moral pollution, out of your home and your thought life. God will help you. God will help you. The scripture in Romans 8:31 and also 37 tells us, if God be for us, who can be against us? Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Obviously, we can't drive these things out in our own strength, but with the power of God, with the Spirit of God, with the name of Jesus, we do have authority. And we can do, as Psalm 60 says, through our God, we will do valiantly. For it is he who will tread down our enemies. If you're struggling with any of these ites that I just described, these seven enemies that were in the promised land, then rely on the Lord to help you and take it to him, and he will tread down your enemies for you. But you have to be in agreement and willing to let go and of any of these things that you've opened the door to in your life. God bless you. Give you a victorious week. You can also go on our website for more teaching and encouragement from the Word of God on www.hiddenwithchrist.com. This is Rita from Hidden with Christ Ministries, and I'd love to hear from you at info@myeverydaybible.com.